on, talk about let it go, right? Turn the calendar. Has anyone had to write 2025 yet on something? Did you do it all right? Well, you say that, but, you know, so many times it's on the computer, so that's not so bad. But just writing it, you know, I had to think. You know, I'm already worn out this year. Right? But we turn the page. And in here, there are things that should be staying back in 2024. And we look towards 2025. And we're told that we need to press on. In Philippians, this is the verse we've been using sort of as a capstone, a jumping off point. It says, "Brother, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Pressing on to more, right? I pray that next year is a more fruitful, productive, blessed life in the year ahead, right? And in doing so, but he says there are some things that we need to forget and leave behind, not carrying around this baggage. Now, we talk about some of the things we already talked about, right? I started off as, I was going to preach this over in 1 week. Now we're in 3 weeks. But the first one, we started talking about the idea of forgiveness, right? There are people that you need to forgive. Let it go. That root of bitterness we talked about can dig in so deep. And we need to forgive. Or maybe we've harmed someone, and in here to rectify that, we need to go to them and ask forgiveness of them. But we put it off too long. You know, we think we can just sweep things under the rug. All that does is pile up the rug, right? And then we trip over it along the way. And the only way to wipe that slate clean is to forgive. The second thing we talked about, right, this was last week, we talked about the shame and guilt that we bear. Because all of us have done things that we are ashamed of. We all have a history. We all have a past. We have things that people throw in our face. Right? I mean, it's funny because we talk about the idea of family. And family, I think, is one of the hardest people. Right? Because they love to throw it all back in our face. Yeah, I share with you guys, there's a picture, and I think my mom has it. And so after my mom dies, I'm going to find this picture and destroy it. It is a picture of me. I must be, let's see, I'm being potty trained. So what, I was probably about 15? No, I was hopefully not. I was just a little tot. I was probably about 3 or 4, right? Somewhere, right? I don't know when you, it's a long time ago. I don't remember. In there, I'm sitting on the little potty, and for some reason, my mom didn't cut my hair. So I had this long, believe it or not, I was a towhead. I had white hair. And it was like this little Dutch boy. So they call me a little Dutch boy. And my hair kept getting in my face, so my mom put a barrette in my hair. Now, today, that would be totally acceptable, right? But back then, it was just like a mockery about, oh, look at little Johnny. And for years, I would get together with my family, and somehow, no matter what the conversation, I mean, we talk about Middle East peace. And all of a sudden, it'd come around about little Johnny sitting on the potty with his beret. It's like, oh, come on. You know? I'm over a half a century years old. Let it go! Yeah, that's just a humorous thing. Now, don't you ever bring that up, Matt, all right? I gotta let it go. Maybe it is, right? I gotta carry around the... Hey, I'm just, I don't care what color my hair is. I'm just glad I have some, so other than that. But we turn around and we look at that, those who want to hold that over us. Right? That's just a humorous story, but there are serious consequences and serious things that we have done along the way. And we got to learn to let that go. Right? If we have confessed it, if we have tried to rectify it, if we try to do all that we can to pay restitution if that's necessary, if we've done all those things, folks, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. And there is nothing too big that God cannot forgive. And so even if people around us don't forgive you, right? You need to let it go. And be who you are in Christ Jesus. You are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So this morning I want to look at the last one. Talk about the idea of sin. Are there sins in our lives that we need to turn over to God? Hebrews tells us, this is therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, this is going through after Hebrews 11, how about the hall of faith, those who have run the race before us, who has showed their faith, who have lived a life. And I'll tell you, in there, we talk about all these heroes of the faith. If you spend time in the Old Testament, you'll see all of them were flawed. None of them were perfect. They all messed up. And yet God still used them. What an encouragement that is for me. You see, I'm not like you guys. You guys are all perfect. Right? You guys have, you know, you guys are all stellars. But what a wonderful thing that God can use broken people. He wants to use us for His glory. Actually, God says He chooses the weak to show how powerful He is. Now think, let that sink in for a moment. Right? I always said, if God can use me, He can use anyone. And He needs to be praised and glorified because of that. So see, you know, we're surrounded by all these great cloud of witnesses, right? All those who have lived the faith before. That now the baton is passed on to us. Now it's our turn. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He uses this illustration of running the race. And when someone runs the race, you don't see them running in heavy parkas and heavy boots, you know, carrying the backpack. Carrying out, right? They don't do all of that. Why? Because when you run the race, you want to lighten yourself up as much as you can. Same thing in the Christian life. We are to shed all these things that burden us, things that trip us up. I love this. The sin which so easily ensnares us. What are things in your life? What sins? What are things that are displeasing to God in your life that you keep tripping up on? And it's interesting because all of us would probably have different things. The Bible says if you say you have no sin, you are a liar and the truth is not in us. Right? We all have sins in our lives. We have our comfortable sins. It's interesting. I saw on Facebook someone asked about, you know, how many of you guys went to church but don't go to church anymore and why? And a lot of the answers had to do with, well, you know, church makes me uncomfortable now and you know, people don't accept me for who I am. And I find that sort of an interesting discussion, right? We had that in Sunday school just a little bit. Because we do have the truth that God loves me as I am, is imperfect, and God loves you. And you don't have to do anything to earn His love. He loves you because He chooses to love you. But God doesn't love what we do. And as we talk about Christ coming and dying and shedding His blood to free us, to pay the penalty for our sins. And now because of this, we are freed from our sin. So He died for us while we were in our sin, but His desire is to free us from that sin. That we can live to Him. That He's working on me. But we will sin. Right? 1 John goes in and talks about this. This is my little children. These things I write to you so that you may not sin. Right? The desire is I can be holy like God. The problem is I fall short. And we all do. But as I read God's word, he shows me what is right. He shows me what is wrong. And he can give us power to conquer the sin in our lives. But it says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation means, the idea is, he satisfied all the requirements.